Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Time to Talk About Podcast. It's been a minute since we recorded, but we are glad to be back. We were thinking, since it's the end of the year, it's in December now, almost 2024, we thought we'd take an episode to sort of talk about and reflect on how our year went, how 2023 was for us. So, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. Just time to talk about 2023 and kind of reflect on what were the highs, what were the lows, what were some of the key events, maybe, what were the things we learned, and just, I guess, how did we grow in the year? So, yeah, just keeping it simple, casual, informal one. So, yeah, even if you want to start us off, like, I guess when you think about the past year, like, I guess what comes to mind first off, I guess, what is your overall feeling about how the year was for you?
Yeah, I feel like my 2023 was pretty calm. Honestly, I just went to school and worked. That's basically it. Like, but I do feel like I learned a lot, especially how I function in an academic setting. I learned a lot about that.
Yeah.
I agree. I think I kind of relearned how to study, and that was a really enlightening experience for me because it made everything a little bit, honestly, a little bit easier in terms of school and stuff. Working was also a really good experience. I had an internship this summer, and it was really eye-opening. There were good things, there were bad things. I made a lot of money. I made connections, so that was cool too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like nothing inherently crazy happened to me this year, which honestly, I just thank God for another year that wasn't too crazy.
Yeah. I think in summer and all in all, it was good for both of us. Like, God has been good, and we know we've been blessed. We've had a lot of good opportunities. For your internship, this is your first one. This was technically your first internship, like...
No, it wasn't my first internship.
Not your very first internship, but it was, like, your first internship, like, related to what you were doing, right?
Yeah.
Like, to your studies and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure I know you appreciated that experience, right? Yeah. To be able to do something more in the, I guess, science-y field.
Mm-hmm.
But, what internship did you have before?
It was the one, my on-campus internship.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then you mentioned too, like, learning how to study. Mm-hmm. And that's something I always talked about with friends before. I feel like in college, because college is different, you have to relearn how to study and how to actually study. Because I feel like sometimes for some of us, especially depending on what classes that we're taking in high school, sometimes in high school, you don't really study. You just kind of like go through the motions and just kind of like read over stuff and then you go take the test. So I feel like for a lot of people, I mean, I don't know about you. Well, I guess you said it, but for me too, I would agree. Like, college at the time, I really had to like go back to basics and like figure out, okay, how do I actually study to retain material? And like, how do I actually make sure I'm learning, you know, content and stuff? So that's a big one.
Yeah. I mean, it's just very different. I think college is just a very different place from high school. I like it better. Like, I always say I would never go back to high school. I just don't really see why I would do that. But college definitely presents like new challenges that you constantly have to learn how to overcome. So I feel like through that, I've grown a lot, especially getting more into the bulk of what I came to college to study. Mm-hmm. I've been challenged in a lot of new ways. But I also feel like I'm really proud of myself too, though, because I definitely, like, in the moment when you're trying to learn something, it can be very tedious and frustrating, but eventually all the time you put in really does pay off. So that was also, it was really good seeing that academically it paid off, even like professionally it also paid off. All the work and effort I put in also paid off as well.
And you should be proud because I've seen it firsthand, and your classmates and friends at school definitely can probably attest because you've worked very hard. So you definitely should be proud. It was a hard year for you, for sure, academically, with all those classes, chemistry, and all of that. I was going to ask, too, like, because you technically switched your major, right? But was that before this year, or was that this year?
That was before this year.
Last year?
Yeah.
Ah, gotcha.
That was last year, yeah.
So that wasn't necessarily a 2023 change, but...
No, it wasn't. But also that this major that I'm doing, I mean, the thing is, I'm still doing something that's still very related mm-hmm. to the previous. So it wasn't like that much of a transition. Also, I just decided when I switched it, I just decided to minor in what I was previously majoring in.
Oh,
so
okay,
it's
gotcha.
More so like instead of me like making it more manageable, I guess in a way I kind of did because I picked something that was more closely aligned with what I wanted to do. So it was like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm now studying something I really, really enjoy.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily say like I switched my major to like make things easier because I don't really think that it did make things easier. It just made more sense for me.
Just smarter. Yeah.
Especially because like a lot of what like I just minored in what I was going to major in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like.
I don't want to get too specific, but your major was biology before, right?
My major, I was biology. Yeah. Gotcha. But I switched to neuroscience because mm-hmm. the only thing with biology that pissed me off was the fact that they had you take like all the plant bio classes.
Oh yeah.
And that's like really boring to me. So that I didn't really want to like take all that. And mm-hmm. I found that like in neuro I could focus on the brain and I was really interested in the brain.
Human stuff.
And neuro is so interconnected with like human bio. So I was like, okay. And then I just kind of took that. And then I still have my chem minor as well.
Yeah,
I didn't I didn't drop that. So, yeah.
So it still worked out, and I'm sure like some of the classes you took before you switched
I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done it if I knew it was going to put me back.
That's good.
The only reason I was looking forward to doing it was because I was like, okay, I think I could really focus mm-hmm. my efforts here, and also because like I wouldn't have had to go back and take a whole bunch of like new classes. Most of the classes I would have either already needed. Well, I already took.
That's good.
It seemed like a very logical transition for me.
Yeah.
But that was last year. That wasn't this year.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
This year was just kind of doubling down on that.
Mm-hmm.
I see. All right. So since you've talked about academics for this year, mm-hmm. I'll talk about my academic experience and then we'll move on, I guess, to another aspect. So for me, like this was my first year as like a full-time graduate student since I did start my grad degree early. But it was while I was still a senior in undergrad. So this year was definitely a challenge in that regard because I kind of realized, I think when I graduated undergrad last year, it was in December actually, I knew it was going to be difficult. Like I knew grad school alone would be difficult, but I thought it was going to be as hard as it was going to be. I thought I was going to be chilling, truly. Like, I knew I was like, obviously, I'm going to be working at the same time, full time. So I'm going to be tired all the time. But I really didn't think that it would be that serious. So I was definitely in for a rude awakening in February when I started my job, my first full time job, which I really enjoyed having. And it's really been a blessing. I mean, just everything that took place for me to get that job was really just a miracle because I really didn't think I was going to. So God has definitely blessed there, but like, yeah, first starting out, it was really hard. it's hard. The first 90 days of a job, obviously, are especially difficult because you're just trying to learn everything and get accustomed to, okay, how do they do things at this company and what do they actually, you know, expect of me? But doing that and also doing 2-3 credit hour grad classes was something. Like, it doesn't sound like that much, like on paper, but 6-credit hours in grad school is a lot of work because they really do, every grad class I've taken, they've been like, okay, this class is 3-credit hours. So we really do expect you to spend 3 hours outside of class for every credit hour. So we expect you to spend 9 hours. And they give you 9 hours worth of work. Maybe not homework, but like readings and material. And yeah, I was like, I was not ready for that because I was used to the last 2 semesters I had in college, in undergrad, where, you know, I didn't have a real full-time job. So And I was only having classes 3 times a week, a few classes. So everything else was online. So I had the whole day to do schoolwork. I didn't have to pinhole it into, okay, from 5 p.m. to midnight or whenever I go to sleep. So trying to adjust to that was really hard. I feel like people don't tell you how hard working and being in school is. Oh, they'll say like, oh, it's difficult. Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. Maybe I was slightly delusional in all honesty because I thought, oh, it'll be fine. So it was really rough the first few months, like from February to like literally till May, till the semester ended. It was really hard. But I really just realized, okay, I have to persevere. Like I've been persevering all through college because college is hard for everybody to a degree. And grad school is not meant to be easy. But thankfully, thank God I was able to make it through. And then summer came. And I don't know how you feel about your summer, but I feel like this summer is really great for me. It's probably the best summer. Or maybe not the, I don't know if it's the best I've ever had, but one of the definitely up there, definitely top five. Just because I got to travel a lot and I got to get on a plane for the first time by myself and travel by myself, which is something.
Was the first time you were traveling by yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. Going to.
Really?
Yeah. Like on a plane.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Like just me is what I mean. Not like without parents, but like just me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't know that.
You're like, oh. Yeah. Yeah. Because what were you thinking of?
I don't know, but I didn't think the first. I didn't think that the first time was this year.
I mean, you definitely have traveled by yourself before.
Before 2023.
23. But like just you alone or you with other friends still?
Yeah, well, I've also traveled with other friends, but alone for sure. Yeah.
Well, I guess this is my first time just me alone because I guess I have traveled alone, but with other friends. Like, so yeah. But yeah, it was my first time really just having to navigate the airport and the concept of flying by myself, which obviously I was a little nervous at first, but it all went very smoothly. I got to go to St. Louis, Missouri for my best friend's graduation, and that was really awesome and a great experience. I'd never been to Missouri. So it was just really cool to be in another state and kind of explore there and see some things there. We got to go see the Arch, so we got our, you know, touristy things a little bit, but also just got to see her school campus and where she lives and stuff. So that was really nice and just a nice experience overall. And I think we've talked about it before, but it definitely made me realize that traveling by yourself can really be way less stressful than traveling with family, especially some families. So, but it was really good. So getting to go there and then in July getting to go to New York for work, which I did also travel by myself as well because we kind of all came at different times. But I had orientation in New York for work, and that was a great experience as well. Even though I was born in New York, like that was really my first proper time being there and actually like going to Times Square and like doing all those typical Manhattan things. So that was really great. And I got to see my aunt and uncle who lived there. So summer was really great for me. I feel like it was really a big growth time for me, probably the whole year, because that was also my first summer living away from home, like for real, you know, so being 2 hours away in another city, I was just kind of building my life and figuring out, you know, what do I want to do and like what things I want to do, you know, away from my parents. So it was good. It was good. A lot of development. I think that's how I would sum up this year. Like if I had to put in one word, it'd be growth or it'd be development, something like that for me. And as you know, I'm an adult and kind of progressing in adulthood, I felt like that was really important. But yeah, that was, summer was great because I felt fortunate with the traveling and all. And then of course, fall semester started and that was harder too. I was taking less classes, only took one class, but work got a lot more difficult because, you know, it's like I had been there for at least 6 months by that point. So now they're like, okay, we expect you to do X, Y, and Z. I wasn't the newbie anymore. So it got a little intense, especially by the time we got to November, around Thanksgiving, and even this month, things have been really busy, but it's been good. I think it's really adulting, like we all say, like, it's just really been a time for me to kind of figure out, okay, how do I actually be an adult? How do I manage my time? How do I make sure, you know, I'm succeeding in work, succeeding in school, and also doing things a normal adult needs to do, like, you know, cleaning your bathroom and washing dishes and cooking, you know? So it was a big year for that as well. Actually, is this year? Yeah. This is the first year too I was just like making my own food. I think I started a little bit at the end of last year, but I still had like a meal plan. So it's like pretty much this is the first full year I was like cooking myself and actually think meal planning, which is a lot more involved than I think we make it out to be. I mean, if you grow up like cooking all the time and you know, you have a lot of skill or a lot of experience being a cook, then it's not as hard. But not really having that much skill, it was difficult. And it's not even like knowing how to cook, even though that is a factor, right? But it's also like the actual meal planning, like thinking like, okay, what am I going to eat this week? So I'm not eating the same thing every day. And so I'm actually eating healthy, you know, like that is a lot, you know, harder than, I mean, I don't know what your experience has been with that. Like I feel trying like, to figure out what to eat. Cause I know you
like
cook too.
Food, like cooking is just like, my thing about cooking is like, I feel like the reward is not worth the amount of work that you put in. Like, I mean, like,
that's
like,
a perfect way to describe it.
I feel like you have, obviously you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, especially because my thing is like cooking for like yourself. Like if you're cooking for like a ton of people or mm-hmm. like a large amount of people, like that, like I feel like that actually might be worth it because
yeah,
it's not just you eating. But like for you, the amount, sometimes the amount of time that you have to actually put in.
Yeah.
And then like for me, I'm big. So like I just eat it.
Right.
I just eat it like immediately.
As soon as it's done, like, yeah.
It's like, oh, it's gone.
And you don't even think about like leftovers or anything to save.
Yeah,
you're just ready
to
eat.
No. I just want to eat. So, you know, there's that as well. I did think that like, because like up until now, the place I lived in college was like, well, not up until now. My first 2 years I lived in, because I'm a third year. So my first 2 years I lived in like an actual dorm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you don't really get your own kitchen and stuff. Right. So, like, there's that aspect of it. So, it's, like, more difficult to actually cook. But then, like, this year, I actually lived, like, in an apartment. And so, that was, like, interesting, having, like, your own space and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I feel like in my first 2 years, because I wasn't really cooking, I had kind of built the way that I went about stuff. As if like I didn't really have to spend that much time cooking.
Yeah.
So it was like really, really difficult. Not really difficult, but it was really interesting having to like revamp my entire,
yeah,
like the way I did everything to kind of not schedule it around cooking, but I had right. to be able to factor that into there so I can make sure to like eat.
Yeah.
Because I actually had a space to be able to cook now. I think towards the end of the semester though, like it was actually really difficult to find time.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah.
It's actually really, 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 really difficult. So that was that.
Yeah, I'm glad you explained all that out because you actually perfectly put into words how I feel about cooking. Because it really is that, especially when it's the college, you know, and even graduate school kind of context where you kind of shape your life in a way that doesn't really cut out time for meal prepping because most of us are eating on campus or just running off campus and getting fast food or just getting something quick from the store. You're not actually sitting down making meals, right? So like even for me, like my first apartment I got last August 2023. So by the beginning of this year, I'd only been there for a few months, but then I had my meal plan. I think my meal plan went until like October, November, and then it ran out then. So I didn't start cooking until the end of last year. And it definitely was an adjustment, even though I wasn't even taking, well, I was actually, that's when I was taking a lot of credit hours, but I kind of underestimated, like, cooking takes time, especially if you want food to taste good, and you're trying to make sure you hit all the food groups and just be healthy and all of that, which I try as much as possible, but that is really, like, really true. And even in the summer, when I was just working, I didn't have school, I was struggling, not gonna lie. Mm-hmm. Like, some days I'll come back, first off, you come back from work so tired. I feel like we don't talk enough about how you work 9 to 5 and then you come home and then you're supposed to just be a normal, responsible adult from 5 till whenever. I mean, you hope you can get in bed by midnight or 1 because you need to get up in the morning and do it all over again. But sometimes I feel like it's not enough time after work. Like the whole corporate slash just, you know, work lifestyle we have in America, although there's other countries doing similar things. It's like, it's not even conducive, really, if you really think about it. It's not conducive to our well-being because, like, you come home, you can't even really rest because you're boom, 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 boom.
Mm.
And those hours from 5 to midnight go so fast. It's like, why does 9 to 5, is it the same amount of time? Hold on. We're at work for what, 8 hours?
5 to midnight is 7 hours. 5 to midnight is 7 hours.
Okay, so basically the same. Like, why 9 to 5 feel like it drags on? You know, you're at work and it's like, oh my goodness. Like,
well, I don't know that.
5 p.m. That's fair. Yeah. But, you know, any long thing, right?
Okay, well, I do know that because I did technically work like a 9 to 5 over the summer.
Anytime you, any job really, right? The shift always feels like forever.
Yeah.
It's like, finally, I'm off. But then suddenly you get home and it's your time. Suddenly when it's your time, then it speeds up. It's like, hold on. It's already time to get in bed. And then I always have problem too with like, I don't know how to even word it, but kind of like, you know, you do, when you don't have time to do your hobbies or just relax and de-stress by watching TV, watching movies, listening to music, stuff like that during the day. So then you do it at night when you're supposed to be sleeping. That was also my problem too, especially in the summer. Because during the school year.
That was never, I one day on me, I'll go to bed. That was never my issue.
And as you should. You're very unproblematic in
but
that
I
way.
But I do understand what you're saying. I do understand exactly what you're saying because I used to, I definitely used to struggle with that.
A lot of people struggle with that. Yeah. And I felt kept falling into bit, especially in summer when I didn't have homework to do. Because sometimes I do it during the school year too, but then I feel guilty because I have schoolwork. And then some days I just come and I just immediately lock into the schoolwork, obviously, because I'm like, you know, I don't even have time. I need to just do the schoolwork and then go to bed. But in the summer, when you don't have those school obligations, if you're not taking a summer class, sometimes I would sit there, like I would do my stuff, make food. By the time I finish making food, cleaning up, it's like 10 p.m., you know? So I really should be thinking about going to bed because I still need to brush my teeth and try and, you know, prepare clothes for tomorrow. Usually I try and pack my lunch the night before, but sometimes I'm lazy, I don't. But usually I would try and do that. So then it's like 11. So it's like, I really should be thinking about winding down. Otherwise I'm not gonna be able to wake up early the next day. But then it's like, now I want to open Hulu. Now I want to open Netflix and YouTube. And then I'm like, I'm just gonna watch a few videos, and next thing you know it's like 1:30, 2 a.m. and it's like, oh, yeah, I should go to sleep now. And I think we all know this, but like when you are using your phone like before bed and you put it away, you can't fall asleep immediately because it's like the light or whatever. I don't know the science behind it, but I know it's like it has to do with the light and stuff. It's like overstimulates your brain to the point where it's like your brain takes a while to fall asleep, and then you wake up 8 a.m. 7 a.m. exhausted. And I kept doing it. I was like, I can't break out of the cycle. So when school started, I was like, okay, I have to be more serious again back in August. But yeah, I guess I'm just complaining is what this has become. Being an adult is hard. But at the same time, I'm very grateful. I mean, I was talking to my cousin the other day, like, just like the, as hard as like corporate America is, I'm so blessed to have a corporate job because first off, many people who have jobs do not have corporate jobs that come with all the perks that corporate jobs have, you know, things like paid time off, things like even like in health insurance through the company and stuff, right? There are many people who are working jobs that don't offer insurance. And in this country, if your job doesn't offer insurance, the likelihood of you having health insurance is slim to none. So as much as we complain, when I think back on the past year, I really do reflect. I'm really like, wow, like, I'm really grateful to God and just to the way life takes you. Cause I was telling my friend the other day, like I could not have predicted my life being like this a year ago. Like last December, I did not think I was even going to get a job at the place I am working now, you know, at that corporation. Like I had applied, I had hoped for the best, but I didn't think my life would be as it is now. So I'm very thankful and grateful in that regard. So it has really been a good year for me, especially academically, but definitely not without troubles. If we're talking about the academic space, it was definitely a challenge. And some days I was like, God, I just, why am I doing this? Like, I don't think I can do school and work at the same time anymore. I just want to give up. But we are sustained. And I think the human spirit in general is a very resilient one. You know, we always find a way, especially Americans. Like, I feel like we do, a lot of us do work really hard, especially those of us who are not, how do I say it? You know, we don't have a silver spoon given to us. You know, we're on the back foot. We may be a little bit, not have all the privileges. So we, you know, we're tenacious, especially immigrants. I think immigrants and like, kids of immigrants.
I feel like even for us, though, like the whole privilege conversation is really interesting because for us, like we, it's really interesting because like there are being first generation, there's like certain privileges that we don't, obviously we don't have, right? Yeah. And then I guess also being Black,
yeah,
especially going into STEM careers and ones that we're doing, like we're definitely underrepresented. So there's like several setbacks and several nuances there. But even with that, I feel like we do actually have like some privileges that we also need to like
Be
aware of.
Like, everyone has privilege. Almost everyone has privilege in some way.
The fact that like we like have a house to live in, we have access to like internet,
yeah,
and like we have two working parents. The fact that we have two parents,
yeah,
the fact that we have parents, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like,
and like I've said earlier, the fact that I have a corporate job. You know, I'm not working at McDonald's or a place that doesn't give paid time off. Doesn't give, like, paid time off is a huge privilege to have. Mm-hmm. And sick time and medical insurance through your bank and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. So
we're definitely privileged in many ways, for sure.
We definitely have privilege, sorry. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that conversation is really interesting because it's like,
yeah,
I think sometimes like the outlook is like, okay, either you have like privilege or you don't, but it's not really that one-sided.
Yeah,
it's not that one-sided, right? So I don't know. I feel like it would be a little disingenuous for us to, you know,
for sure,
over that as if, you know, there's that as well.
Yeah, and that's why I did acknowledge, like, as much as a complaint, mm-hmm. like my career alone puts me in a lot of privilege already because I'm already, you know, as a software engineer, I'm already making more than the average salary in America. I think they said right now the average salary in America for American household, like the whole household, is I think somewhere between 65 and 75K, you know, a year, mm-hmm. you know. And I mean, some software engineers just starting out will be making that actually. Mm-hmm. But I'm very blessed to be making a little more than that. You know what I mean? Like that's already privilege mm-hmm. right there. And then all the perks and stuff that come with it. But mm-hmm. at the same time, you know, definitely being minorities, we have a lot of struggles obviously, in this country. Mm-hmm. We all know it well. But I think for you and I, especially because we're in fields that we are underrepresented in mm-hmm. versus some other fields where we may, you know, Black people may be more, there may be more of us in. But mm-hmm. being in tech and science and all of that, you know, mm-hmm. it's always an uphill battle. But yeah, so academically, work-wise, I can say 2023 has been good for me, for mm-hmm. sure. So what about like, that was like the, I guess the work and school side of things. So what about like personal side for you? Like the, I guess, growth just in general, I guess your mental health, your emotions, just happiness, fun, all of that, like that kind of side.
I feel like to be like open, I definitely struggled a lot with like self-image and like mental health in general this year. And that's like, that's mad to me because I remember when I really started to let's talk about self-image specifically. Mm-hmm. When I began to really respect and appreciate the image that I had of myself, there was like so much progress all at once. And this was not until maybe like my senior year of high school. So mm-hmm. that was not, I'm a third year in college now. So there's that. So it's been a while, mm-hmm. but in the grand scheme of things, it was not that long ago. And the fact that I was able to grow into my image and really appreciate it at 17 rather than a lot earlier, that's a conversation for probably a very different day and setting. But there is that. And so when I first grew into a positive self-image, I had a lot of really quick progress in like a positive direction.
And that's really good. Yeah.
But I feel like this year specifically was the first time that I actually had like it started going back down. Like my self-image, self-esteem, things like that started going back down for a lot of reasons that I just don't have the bandwidth to get into right now.
For sure. Yeah.
But that definitely happened a lot over the year. I think firstly, it definitely started like first half of the year, and then summer was like a great break. I feel like it's always accompanied by like when you're in school. But like when you're in school, there's always like a lot of people there. When I was summer, most of summer, I spent like not really socializing that much because I mean, I was getting to the bag. I actually got to the bag this summer.
And as you should.
So there is that. You know what I mean? But during school, like it's a little bit different because you're constantly surrounded by people who are constantly being socially stimulated. And so mm-hmm. I definitely had like a downward spiral in terms of my self-image and self-esteem.
Gotcha.
First half of the year, then summer was like pretty good. Summer I was able to like feel like myself again, and then fall again.
Yeah.
The fall semester again.
I feel like it always correlates with school.
It does because
for those of us who are students.
School, and I guess this is like I'll get to that. But yeah, so I feel like this year I learned that like progress, especially in like your self-image and self-esteem, is not always linear in the positive direction. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't always go up. It isn't always getting better.
Yeah.
And that sucks, but
that's the journey. Still
a reality of life. Like, there's going to be days where you genuinely do not feel like you look your best. You don't feel your best.
Yeah.
You feel all types of ways about yourself. And that's something that I really had to grapple with a ton. And I think what really matters the most is that you can really keep your head above the water, so to speak, right? When you're going through things like that, like, you can't just, like, fall off entirely, you know?
Yeah.
And if you do come close to that, if you do go into there, you know, obviously get help, you know, like, in the best way possible, you know?
Right, yeah.
So there is that aspect of it. And then...
And there's nothing wrong with needing to get help. Therapy and all of that. We have to remove that those stigmas,
right?
Which I know many people are working hard to, but we got a long way to go.
We have a very long way to go.
Especially in the Black community.
Especially in the Black community. And I feel like mental health specifically in a lot of Black communities, and then also, like, amongst, like, men.
Yeah, definitely amongst
especially,
men. But I feel like we're seeing more. I mean, maybe don't quote me because I'm not a researcher. I won't. But I do feel like from what I've read and stuff, we're seeing, like, more mental health issues now in men, or at least we're seeing it. Maybe it's being recorded more in men. Not that women aren't having a lot either, but I think there's a huge rise. Like, I know I was in church 2 weeks ago at my church back in Charlotte, and the pastor was actually preaching about suicide because he is going to, the church is going to be doing a suicide like prevention training program later this month to sort of help train people on how to help those who may be contemplating suicide or who may have attempted suicide, you know, which is really great. But he's been in this program that he's been specially trained, but he was talking about how it's actually now, statistically, it's actually now more prevalent in men. Men are more likely to commit suicide now than women, or what the new statistics are showing. And I feel like a lot of common mental health issues now, they're finding that, but I think it's more because men, we tend not to talk about those things more, so we kind of bottle things up. So maybe it's not even that, maybe there's a huge difference, right? Women are experiencing a lot too, but I think women sometimes are more likely to get help, or even if they don't go get help, like, let me go to therapist, I feel like they're more likely to open up and talk to someone about it and confide in someone. But we have, I guess, society, for men, we have this kind of, you know, and they call it machismo, some people call it, right? This feel need to feel like, you know, you have to be masculine, and that means not, you know, showing any emotion or not showing any vulnerability. And we definitely gotta work to dismantle that. And I think that's prevalent in every community, but I think especially the Black community for sure. And then the overall stigma around therapy and stuff. So yeah, so I'm glad we're talking about self-image, because it is very important to talk about. But
I think that, like, it's really interesting that you bring up what, like, your pastor was talking about, because last, so I guess two semesters ago now, but I was taking a class, and it was like, it was a neuro class. And so we did have to learn about psychological disorders and, like, the biological bases for them. And it's really interesting that, like, you bring this up. From the, to the best of my knowledge, that is the case, like, at least suicide numbers, like, that's the case, like, for something like that, because that's a situation in which people don't get the help that they need. Right? But it's also really interesting to note that when it comes to looking at things, disorders specifically like anxiety and depression, right, the numbers are higher for women than they are for men. But that is largely, or at least partially, attributable to the fact that the numbers surrounding men's depression and anxiety oftentimes go underreported. Because men are oftentimes not encouraged
willing to disclose,
or they're not encouraged to seek help. Right? And that's, like, that's a really, that, that's a really big issue. You know, so I don't know. And I once had a conversation with somebody about this, who was trying to make the case that women's, the numbers for women are higher just because women are more like emotional, the men, or like they're more da 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 da. Like men just don't get sad as much. And I'm like, first of all, you cannot reduce depression or anxiety to like just being sad, because it's so much more than that. Let's begin there. And second of all, like there is actually like a really, really, really big scientific gap there in that assertion in and of itself. And I feel like making statements like that can push very, very, very harmful stereotypes for both men and women, but I guess in this situation specifically towards women, right? So I think that it's really important that we educate ourselves about the stigma that exist when it comes to talking about mental health and how it interacts with like gender.
For sure.
You know,
I mean, I think the word emotional is kind of too vague because it means a lot of different things. It depends on what aspect of emotions you're talking about, because, you know, there are differences between men and women. And in some ways, women are more emotional creatures, but it's not emotional in the sense of like they're more sad or like they show their emotions more. That's more because of society, right? Like, I would say women do cry and show their emotions more than men, but that's not like a biological predisposition. But then there are biological things, or maybe not biological, but like behavioral differences where like women are the more nurturing type, right? So if you're more of a nurturer, you're going to be more in touch with emotions than, for example, men are, right? Men are seen more as like, I guess, the supporters, where women are more the nurturers, right? That's why we have like the typical roles of like a mother and a father, right? And they kind of serve different, I guess, niches in a relationship,
I
mean, right?
I feel like that's also quite societal too, though. To a certain extent.
It is somewhat, like, we've pushed it somewhat, but I do also think that's how we were naturally created. Like,
you think so?
I think there are emotional differences. But when it comes to mental health, I don't think that plays into it. So I agree there. Like, I don't think that's enough to be able to say, oh, you know, that's why women have more. But there are differences in the way that we function and we are created. And that's why, like, you know, that's why, like, we have mothers and fathers. But it also doesn't mean that, like, a father can't provide the nurturing side, and also doesn't mean that a mother can't do the opposite. You know what I mean? But it's just like that is like our nature naturally. But I do agree that I don't think that really comes into play when you're talking about like mental health and depression and things like that, because that's more like the expression of emotion, and that's very different. You know, every person expresses emotion differently. That's not really something that is tied to your gender or biological, I guess, identity. But it does have a lot of it is tied a lot to society and how society has framed things for men and women for so long. So yeah, I agree. I think that's a very important conversation to have. Men need to be able to feel like they can be open and vulnerable and emotional, whatever that may mean, you know, and not be kind of stuck in this societal, I guess, cage that we've been put in. I guess we also put ourselves in. It's like both, right? But society, it takes a while to change society and societal norms, unfortunately. Those are things that don't go away very easily. But yeah, so it's very important. I think for me, this year was a good year for me for my mental health and like self-image and all of that. I feel like last year was when I struggled a little more, mainly because of school, of course. I think people kind of removed from education, from higher education. Maybe you're not a college student anymore, or you don't have a kid in college, or you're not a professor or somebody else who works at a school. I think sometimes they really underestimate like how much school, all levels of school, not just college, but we're specifically talking about college, does affect kids' mental health. Like, there's a reason young people have so many mental health issues today, right? And education does play a part of that, you know, not education like learning, but the school system and all of that, and the pressures that come with it too. So I feel like last year was really a challenge for me in that regard. And I feel like this year was much better. Kind of because I was kind of able to grow and kind of able to, like you said, kind of, I guess, learn to love myself more, right? Like learn to be, you know, more comfortable of my image and have a better image of self. So I feel like in that regard, for me, it was good. But like you said, it's ups and downs. Like there were definitely days that were bad too. And we have to be able to normalize that for sure. Like that's okay. Like not every day is going to be sunny. It's not always going to be just a straight upward trajectory. And it's going to be more curves, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's good that like this year was good for you mentally for the most part. I feel like for me, along the lines of school, I did experience like a good amount of imposter syndrome though, because it's like comparison is a thief of joy. Like it really is.
That's that yeah.
aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And then also like when it comes to body image, I actually like started working out a lot this year and I'm really happy that I did, but nobody really talks much about like, at least speaking specifically about body image, nobody talks a lot about like the body dysmorphia that actually I don't want to call it body dysmorphia because that's an official diagnosis, but I am going to say the the damage to your body confidence that can result from like starting to work out and going to the gym and stuff, because the entire mindset there is like, okay, I always need to see progress, and progress in the gym also isn't very linear. I haven't like, I actually haven't been to the gym in like the past month, and that was mostly because of finals.
Yeah.
And like, same. I just really got stressed out, but it's also because I knew I had to take a break, because I was like, if I keep going down this road, I don't think I'll be able to like come back from, that sounds morbid. Maybe not come back from it, but I knew it was going to be like a lot. So like,
But that's a societal thing too, right? Like it's not the gym itself per se, but I guess that
it's body image.
Yeah.
It's body image.
And how, especially like, you know, social media and kind of the whole, there's a big, you know, world on social media of fitness content, right? And I think a lot of times you see the people on there, right? And it's easy to kind of be like, they're progressing, they're getting better, why am I not, you know?
Social media is not really real though.
I mean, that's like, my point. That's
like,
the thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But like, it's because like if you just go to the gym, do your thing and go home, I feel like you'd be fine. But I feel like when people go to the gym, they have, like you're also getting, you know, you have other things in your subconscious as well that that combine from what we see online, from what we just see around us. So then when you go to the gym with all that in your subconscious, and then you also see people looking, you know, ripped, whatever you want to call it, it all combines. But I totally get what you mean for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that aspect of it. But I feel like overall though, like I'm pretty okay though. Like mentally, like I feel like I learned how to deal with it. Like in a good way though, in a good way, not just like to ignore it and push it down, because that's something else that I learned this year, that like if you ignore stuff and you push it down, it's gonna come back up.
Yeah,
when you don't really, when it's not appropriate for it to come back up. So like there you go. So yeah, I feel like mental health, like I'm doing pretty okay now, but it's like looking back on the year, it's like I definitely went through some stuff.
Yeah, you know? It's ups and downs in life, especially as a young adult in this day and age.
I still feel like I grew a lot though.
Yeah,
I grew a lot, and I'm happy. I'm happy that I grew a lot.
I think in terms of physical body image and exercise and all of that too, funnily enough, I feel like a good chunk of this year, I did not go to the gym. I was more consistent with the gym last year, 2022, but it kind of ties into what you're saying with like self-image. I feel like there was a lot of outside pressure that I was trying to block out of like, oh, you need to, obviously we all know we need to exercise, but you know, you're not looking the way you should look at your age and such, you know? And so you need to be working out more. You need to be exercising more. And I feel like this year for me was the first time that I really like stopped caring. I mean, I feel like I didn't care that much before about what other people's opinions either. But I feel like this year I really stopped caring, not just because I stopped going to the gym, but I think when I stopped going to the gym, even though I was disappointed in myself and I wanted to get back into it, I was able to be okay with myself not going to the gym. Yeah. If that makes sense, no, from a look standpoint.
People will be so annoying sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, people will run their mouth and they're just like, I am not listening to you. Or
yeah,
I really do not care. So it's like, I'm glad that you were able to really block out what other people might have said.
Because it would get to the point where people would say things, and you know, the type of people always do. and I'll just be like, well, I haven't been to the gym in a minute. Gotta go back. Like, I was able to, like, joke about it and not even take it seriously. Yeah. But I mean, I have been back in the gym. And I've been trying to get back into it because exercise is important. Mm. And we obviously, I know, I do a job. As software engineers, we don't really move that much in our job. So it's a little more important for us maybe to get exercise than other people, because, like, we're not necessarily walking that much usually, typically, in our jobs. But yeah, so I've definitely been trying to get back into it, which is hard too. Like, everybody's like, oh, I'm starting at a gym again, it's hard. But I feel like we don't really talk about how, like, that first month when you're trying to get back into it,
actually, yeah,
and when you've been out of the gym for so long. Like, I stopped going to the gym regularly in February when my job started. And I think that's part of why I was saying I did have those mental ups and downs, because when the job started and school was getting worse, it was all colliding at the same time. So it's like the gym had to go because I had to come home from work and lock in and do the schoolwork. So from February to September-ish, probably, I did not go to the gym. I went to the gym maybe two or three times during that time period, like one-offs, you know, false starts, thinking, oh, I'm going to get that start, especially in the summer. Mm. The summer, I really didn't have an excuse because I didn't have school. Mm. I was just tired, you know, and I felt like eating a lot too in the summer too. So my back was big. I was traveling a lot too. So I was busy, but like, yeah, I feel like September, October is when I started being like, okay, I need to at least do some exercise again. And I started slowly getting back into it, which is good. Mm-hmm. What did help me was you know, kind of finding a friend to go to the gym with, mm-hmm. that was willing to put up with me trying to figure things out for the first time, in terms of, because I'm trying to do more weight training and stuff now, and I was just running before. So that's underestimated, I feel like, or not underestimated, underrated. Mm-hmm. People underrate how important, like, or I feel like we just don't talk much about how important some of the gym buddies are. Like, you need, like, that person you can go with sometimes. For some people, that motivation is necessary. Because I knew me, I couldn't trust myself to stay accountable to myself. I would go 1 week and the next week. So even though my friend was not forcing me and was very understanding if I could not go a certain day. So it wasn't like he was like, why are you not here? You know, you just feel more inclined to go if you know that you're supposed to be going with somebody. Right. So it's been good. And I'm hoping, I mean, I don't really make New Year's resolutions, but next year, I don't really believe in them. But
because my thing is like, why can't you start it right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Like, I remember last time I said that, I got so much slack for saying that. But I don't want to take it back.
Some people get offended, but it's true. I'm just thinking, I know next year I want to ramp up even more. So I'm kind of thinking in the future, but I'm definitely, you know, continuing now. But yeah, so, but I feel like for me, personal wise, 2023 was good, because I already talked about being able to travel, being able to just be more social, like, you know, just being able to like hang out with friends. Obviously, I made new friends living in a new place now, but being able to hang out with friends, it's so nice when you have a car and you're independent and you can just get up and go do something if you want to do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People, especially African kids, can relate to that. Because you know
college,
how it is.
College is such a it's a culture
freeing
reset.
Experience for many of us.
It is such a culture reset for many of us. Mm-hmm. Because
yeah,
some of my parents would do too much. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Did you have any more kind of things to add on that kind of personal aspect?
Not really. Kind of cover everything. I grew a lot, honestly.
Yeah.
In several ways. Like, I learned more about myself.
Good year of growth, yeah.
Good year. You know, I feel like you were saying your summer was really good. My summer was okay.
Mm.
Because, like I said, I made a lot of money. Thank God.
Sure.
But I feel like I did not get to travel at all. And I really wanted to travel. Like, I didn't get to do it. And another thing, I guess this is my last thing about my personal thing, is like, I realized like how much this year I really realized how much I have outgrown our hometown.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like for everybody there comes a point where that happens.
Like, I was really thinking about it and I'm like, because my internship was virtual. You know this.
Yes.
My internship was virtual. So I was here. I could have gone like to the site, but there were some issues there. So I didn't actually get to end up doing that.
Yeah.
And over like the summer, I was like here the entire summer. I still have like friends here and everything. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like the end of the world. I still had like fun and stuff, even though I wasn't really that social. I still had a lot of fun. But I really realized that like I felt almost trapped.
Yeah.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and partially that was partially because I feel like I was paying too much attention to the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to my friend about this today, how I was like, I'm definitely going to need to find people that are like studying what I'm studying and have similar paths to me.
Yeah.
To like form new friendships with, because if I look at what everyone else around all my current friends, not all my current friends, but a lot of my current friends are doing, like I might actually like feel FOMO and get derailed from what I really want to do.
Yeah. You start comparing yourself, like, and then, yeah,
you know, but so that was part of it. Like that's part of the reason I felt trapped. But a huge part of the reason I felt trapped was that like I had so much opportunity to spend the summer in a different place and it just didn't materialize.
Yeah.
And in all this, I just realized that like I've really just outgrown our hometown.
Yeah.
Like
that's definitely an okay thing.
It's a great place to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
But like I cannot be here forever.
Yeah. Like, and that's fine. Like I feel like so many people hate it when people say things like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what's wrong with here? Like, you know, why do you want to leave?
But it's not that.
I think it is a part of growing up, honestly.
It's just a part of growing up. Like
Yeah, I think for me, I realized that when I started living on my own in Charlotte. Like, you know, once like I stopped living in the dorms and I'm now living in an apartment and I am living my own life in another city, I realized, you know, it's been good. Like I need to get out of hometown and kind of explore. It allows you to grow in ways. People don't understand that, especially I think Africans sometimes don't understand that. Because
really? Actually, yeah, I agree.
I think it's because most African countries, if not all, right, the culture is different, right? African culture is very community.
I feel like we should speak for our own culture,
but this is a general like African thing. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Like other Africans have said, like we're very community focused. It's a familial
culture. You know? America is very individualistic, yeah. and Ghana at least is not like that.
Yeah, I've heard Asians say the same thing. It can be,
mm-hmm. but like. Traditionally, the culture is very different.
Yeah. Americans have their community and stuff, which is great. But mm-hmm. by the end of the day, everybody is for themselves. And so it's not as crazy for Americans, you know, to be like,
especially now at 18.
Yeah, at 18.
It's not
like
crazy.
That, because it's like, it's time for you to go build your own life.
Mm-hmm.
But in the African context, and my friends who are Asian say the same thing, like, a lot of times they live with their parents, with their family until they get married.
I'm sorry, that's just not going to happen. that didn't happen. But
and
like
all of that, they're still living with them, you know? Yeah. Some of them until they have a child. So it's like, and then like I know some people, like I have friends, right? Who like Anissa, who was on the podcast before, right? Like a lot of her family all lived together in the same house for quite a while, even like her extended family.
Mm-hmm. And there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just in America, that's so like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
That would only happen if, you know, it's like an elderly person who needs help or something, you know. But because of that, I think it's hard for, we talk about it all the time, so we know, mm-hmm. but I think it's hard for our parents and aunts and uncles and just relatives to kind of let go sometimes.
It's really difficult for them to let go.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a friend who moved like pretty far away, and my dad or our dad was like, oh, why did they move like very far?
Yeah.
Like, they should have stayed here for like, and I was like, I mean, there's more opportunity out there than here.
Yes.
You know? And it's like, I really appreciate the familial side of our cultures because it means that in a lot of circumstances, as long as you have a good relationship with your family, you will have a support system.
Yeah.
And I think that in America, it can be really difficult to find a support system.
Yeah.
Because of the individualistic culture sometimes. Like both
mm-hmm.
Individualism and familiarity.
Yeah.
If I can use that word, have their perks, and that's one of the perks of the ladder.
We need a combination of both,
right? But someone moving far away to better themselves and to follow the opportunities that they know is best for themselves, that is not wrong. And it doesn't mean that they're abandoning their family. It doesn't mean any of the stuff that certain individuals or certain cultures have assigned meaning to.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't mean that, you know?
Even if they're just moving to have a change of pace, you know, and get to a different place. Because I think one thing that people around us struggle with is that, you know, our hometown is not like this little small town in the boonies, not in the country or something. You know, it is a great city and there are many opportunities here too. And I feel like that's why sometimes people struggle too, because I feel like if you're from a small little town, it's almost, even in American culture, it's almost expected. And it goes with the individualisticness, right? It's almost expected that you're going to go, because it's like, oh yeah, you're young. You need to go and explore the world and be in other states, be in other bigger cities and stuff. But I feel like because we live where we live, people around us are like, why do you need to leave here? There's so many great things here. There's plenty of opportunities here. It's not like the middle of nowhere. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's another level on it too. But sometimes people just want a change of pace, a change of scenery. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people just want to be in a new place to grow, because you kind of stagnate. You do stagnate when you're in the same place all your life, especially with this, the place you grow. So that's fine too. Like, sometimes you don't have to be moving for a better opportunity because there may be good opportunities right here. Sometimes it's just you want a fresh start. So there are good opportunities over there, good opportunities here, but you want a fresh start. And people need to be okay with that too.
I feel like the network that you have in your home city will not stop seeing you in a specific way until you actually leave and establish yourself and show that I've changed and I've grown. Like, I was having this conversation with our mom, actually. And I was like, yeah, like, you know, I don't think, as grateful as I am to have been able to grow up in the church that we did, because I think we had a really good, like, church childhood, like, looking back.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, honestly, I don't think that many of those people that have seen me grow up from like a very young age, or maybe they like moved here when I was like 11 or 12 and they've seen me, like, they're never actually going to see me as a legitimate adult until I go somewhere and establish myself, and then eventually I come back.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? And that type of view of you can be very limiting.
Yeah.
Obviously, part of it is like, okay, you shouldn't give that much attention to like what other people think of you. But at the same time, right, you also want to be taken seriously.
Yeah. And I totally understand that for sure.
You know, and so I'm just like, the church that like in our hometown, right?
Yeah.
Great place, great people, no issue with them at all.
Yeah.
But I'm really realizing that, like, I feel like
they're always gonna see us as their babies. They're always, you know, because we grew up there from baby.
They're always gonna see us as children.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like because of that, sometimes like it can mean that your opinions are invalid. Sometimes it means that if you make like a statement, you know, it can be seen as being rude or even though you're just as much of an adult as anyone else, right? And so for me, where I am is like I said millions of times before, great place, but like in order for me to fully grow, like I definitely have to like leave the area and leave that specific congregation, maybe join a new one where they see me as,
yeah,
you know, like
you're a new adult 20, who came in
21, like, you know what I mean? Like I'm building a life for myself,
it's
rather
true
than like, oh, I'm just living in someone else's shadow, you know? So I don't know.
I definitely agree. Cause I've gone to experience that firsthand since I did move, you know, in the middle of college. So I'm now with people in a church and other communities, right, that only see me as an adult because that's all they've known me as, you know? Right. So that's very true. I think for people who don't understand, a good analogy would be like, if you think about like your favorite like child stars, right? People who are on Disney and Nickelodeon, a lot of them have trouble when they grow up transitioning into a more adult career because people still see them as the kids from Disney and Nickelodeon. And so sometimes when they do things, maybe they'll make more mature music or something or be in a more mature film or something. People will get upset and have backlash, right?
But it's like, but this person's like 25.
Yeah, it's like they're 25 and you're still, you know, holding on to their days when they were 15 on the Disney TV show. And most of the time, the only way for that person to push through those stereotypes is to keep doing those grown things. And eventually people will realize, okay, there's intention by this.
Push themselves out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
That's the only way. Mm-hmm.
So it's the same, it's the same thing concept. In a more down to earth everyday context, mm-hmm. right? That's sometimes you have to be able to go outside your hometown, your home circle mm-hmm. to be able to really grow.
Yeah.
But
I mean, our mom was like, oh, don't you think like you'll be here, come back here? I mean, like, honestly, our mom is still trying to get you to come back.
She wants you to move back here, now.
Right. And it's like,
She's like, don't you think you'll end up here eventually? But
I mean, I don't know.
One day, maybe. Maybe. But soon, I don't know about soon.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Definitely not like in post, not definitely not immediately post grad.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, we're in our 20s. Yeah. And I think people have to remember, this is a time we need to explore and live life, you know.
Once
you get to 30 and so, then, you know, most people start thinking about settling down or having a family and stuff. So mm-hmm. you need to have the time beforehand to explore mm-hmm. and grow and have those experiences. Me, I've always said that I can't wait to finish college and start making money so I can travel, because that's always been a really big thing for me. Like, I love mm-hmm. traveling and mm-hmm. I love learning about other people and other cultures. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in America, we are so one-track minded. We only know about us. We don't know about the world. So I want to be able to go to all different kind of countries and continents mm-hmm. to be able to, you know, experience how other people are living. Mm-hmm. So that's something I want to use my 20s for, you know? So mm-hmm. I'm not thinking about moving down to back to here and settling down, you know?
No, because
it's the time for us to explore. And I think that's not a bad thing, you know? Mm-hmm. That's not a bad thing.
I know we said we don't really like New Year's resolutions, but I feel like that's something that maybe we can keep in mind for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like obviously we can't get everything together and do everything we want to do in 2024. But I do feel like, you know, we can work on adopting like that mindset and learning how to leave places or spaces that feel safe or comfortable for us
mm-hmm.
as long as it's going to help us grow and help us experience life in the long run.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Next year, I definitely want to travel more.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't really know how I'm going to be able to do that. Looking at my schedule and everything.
I said the same thing last year. Like, oh, in 2023, it's not my resolution, but my goal is I do want to travel.
Yeah.
And I did. Travel. So sometimes you just have to, you know,
we were supposed to be traveling right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. Yeah.
Supposed to be busting down dirty December.
That would have ate so bad. It sounds fine though, next year.
But yeah, we have things to look forward to. So maybe mm-hmm. sometimes it is just, you know, putting that thought into the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes things will happen, you know. God hears us, you know, the things we want. And, mm-hmm. you know, he can make them happen. But yeah, I don't know about you, but for me, I'm really looking forward to 2024 because I feel like it's going to be a year for more growth, more prosperity for me.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
What do you always say?
I don't know.
Less inquasa sem, more sika sem.
More sika sem.
So less nonsense, basically.
More money.
And I really think that's, for me personally, it's going to be that for me, especially since I'll be graduating grad school, which I'm really excited for.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm really looking forward to 2024.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's only up from here. And hopefully we can travel.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that being there too. I don't know. What about you? I mean, you'll be in ending your third year of college, right?
Yes. So hopefully
starting the last,
I'll be able to have another good semester
mm-hmm.
academically. I hope so. I honestly hope I'll be able to travel a lot more.
Yeah.
Go explore some new cities. Maybe.
Maybe it'd be great if you could do something fun for summer. Like if you were able to get a different summer opportunity.
Yeah.
That would allow you to be able to explore a new place. That's a good goal.
That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. I feel like I really want to go back to Ghana though.
Yeah. I'm ready.
That's it. I think that's the only place I want to go, but that's the number one place I want to go right now, honestly.
And that's the same thing I've been saying. So I think that is the goal for sure. Yeah. But I guess to wrap it up, right? I guess what are you most excited for 2024, and what, I guess, are you most nervous about for 2024?
Don't think there's any point in worrying about anything this early.
I mean,
I'm not going to say anything for nervous. Excited? I don't know. I guess maybe where I'm going to be this time next year,
mm-hmm.
because I know that there are opportunities for me next year for sure.
Yeah.
So
opportunity. Know. That's the excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would say the same for the positive. I'm just looking forward to new opportunities after graduating and such. And the only thing right now that I'm really nervous about is that we are entering an election year in America.
I forgot. I didn't forget, but yeah. Like, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I feel like there's so much going on right now, so that's being pushed to the back. But I am a little nervous about that just because it is not looking great. But I think it's good that I feel like this is going to be the first election that a huge chunk of our generation will be able to vote.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
This is my first presidential election.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because obviously the last one, so older generations, you were able to vote. But
I wasn't. I was 17.
Yeah, but, you know, the second latter half was not. It really wasn't much of Generation Z. But I feel like Generation Z is very mobile. Because I know a lot of people talk about, oh, young people, we need to encourage them to vote. They don't really want to vote. But I feel like that's not true. Maybe anymore. I feel like that's not really true anymore. While they're definitely, they're definitely, you know, indifferent people, I feel like it's more like millennials and stuff, like the older ones. Like, I feel like Generation Z, the ones that are coming up, especially the ones that are going to be able to vote now that were not before, I feel like they're really fired up because I feel like they're tired of what's going on, you know? But I definitely did feel like, especially in 2020, leading up to 2020, I did feel being in college, I did feel like there were a lot of college students at the time who were kind of just like indifferent. Like they just kind of wanted to do school.
2020 was not an ideal situation.
Yeah.
Too.
And it discouraged people for sure. But I feel like now it's like people are really fired up because they realize that at least as far as America goes, like this next election is make or break like for this country. Mm-hmm. We are down bad. But that's something we'll have to talk about in the future too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we're looking forward to 2024. I think for us personally, it'll be a year that, you know, we will see a lot of blessings and a lot of growth. So I say bring it on. And on that note, I guess we'll say bye for now. We wish everyone a Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever holiday you celebrate at this time, because I don't know all of them. Or if you do not, a nice end of December and a happy new year. And we look forward to seeing you all in 2024 and tackling some more topics and having some more fun conversations. But any last thoughts from you?
Mm-hmm.
All righty then. Thank you everyone for listening and we'll see you next time.